Reggie Miller is by far the best pacer of all time.
You're out of your mind. Welcome to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
Buddy 6-7.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this segment of ASN's Inside the Playbook. I'm your host, Liam Davis. Joining along me is
Benson Davis.
And we welcome you here to this segment of March Madness Overview, where we're going to talk about some of the matchups in March Madness, some of the upsets, some of the surprises, and also some key players of March Madness. We're going to go round by round here. So we can start off with round one here. One game that I'd like to mention was the Duke-Siena game.
So I was about to mention, that was in the East, so one of the earlier games.
Yeah, it was Siena almost able to pull it out there. Was up at halftime.
By 11. Largest lead by a 16 seed at halftime in March Madness history. And second half, Duke just shut them down, outscored them 39-22 in the second half. Boozer played pretty terrible. He was like 4-for-11. He rebounded well, but honestly, and we'll get more into it, but Duke the entire tournament just kind of was lackluster compared to what, you know, the expectations were.
Yeah, and Siena only had 5 players to play the whole entire game up until the last like 2 minutes there where they started subbing people in. So it was a good run up until the later stages of the game. But also right under that in the same division was the TCU-Ohio State game. I think a lot of people had Bruce Thornton in Ohio State going far, almost some of them having them beat Duke. But TCU was able to dominate most of the game and able to secure a 66-64 win over Ohio State.
Yeah, that was the first game of the tournament and definitely one that broke a lot of people's brackets. Those 8-9 games are always pretty 50-50. That one was really close. So, yeah, that's really about the only two interesting games in the East. The rest of them kind of blowouts. UCLA-UCF was pretty good, but I think most people had UCLA there.
Louisville-South Florida was... Yep. Also a game. Many people picking South Florida.
I did.
I also picked South Florida.
They really were lackluster, so unfortunate, but.
Yeah, and then we can move on to the west side here. I honestly was surprised in the Texas BYU game. I thought BYU would have shown a better fight offensively, but Texas able to shut them down offensively and defensively. And then Texas went on to beat Gonzaga as well.
Yeah, you wonder how that BYU game might affect DeBansa's draft stock. I think consensus is he's going to go number one overall, but yeah. It is interesting. He didn't play, you know, super well. And Texas, yeah, like you said, ended up going on a little bit of a run there, beating Gonzaga in the next round. But the highlight of this Western Division was that High Point Wisconsin game.
Yeah,
going into this, you know, Wisconsin, a lot of people were high on Wisconsin. You know, one of the best defenses in the country. Against High Point, which is one of the highest scoring teams, so it was gonna be a good game from the start. And High Point just lights, you know, the lights were bright, but they handled the pressure and came out with a really big win. One of the most entertaining games of the tournament.
Yeah, and then now to the Midwest side, we had 3 teams score over 100 points: Iowa State, Tennessee State, 108-74. Michigan Howard 101-80, which Howard was actually close up until around 15 minutes left in the second half. And then a game to mention, St. Louis, Georgia, 102-77. St. Louis takes down Georgia. A lot of people honestly had Georgia. A lot of people had St. Louis as well. I picked St. Louis in that game.
Yeah.
I knew St. Louis, with Robbie Avila,
you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
That's what they call him.
The standout for just able to do what he does. And people pick Georgia because Georgia's an SEC school, but in basketball, they're somewhat mid, people would say.
And then the ending of that Kentucky-Santa Clara game, you know, Santa Clara with the go-ahead bucket, and then, you know, you think they won the game, and then Kentucky, you know, I don't know what Santa Clara was doing on defense, but Kentucky gets a wide-open half-court shot, yeah. And it drills it to go to overtime, and, you know, in overtime, Kentucky wins 89-84. That was a fantastic game.
Yeah, and now going on to the south side of the bracket, only one somewhat close game: VCU North Carolina. North Carolina No, they had a good year. VCU, although, was a better scoring team. I had VCU winning that game, though. And then the second closest game was Iowa-Clemson. Iowa actually did really good in this tournament. I was not expecting them to go as far as they did. But now we can move on to the second round here, where the East Side, St. John's, Kansas.
Great game.
Probably the best game of the... Well, first half, not a good game. Second half, like late last 10 minutes of the second half, it turned into one of the better games in the tournament. St. John's able to hit that last second layup there.
Buzzer beater, yeah. It was... That was a really exciting game. And I think that is why a lot of people had St. John's. After that, people were a lot higher on St. John's, I feel like, especially in the, like those second chance brackets that people made. They had St. John's like going really far. So
yeah. And now over to the West Side. Again, just some more blowouts. Texas Gonzaga, the closest game there, 74-68. Texas was kind of in the same spot as Iowa, a higher seed. Won multiple games, but Iowa, of course, went farther. And then the Midwest side is the second round, all blowouts, really. Tennessee, Virginia, 79-72. And then we had Iowa State, Alabama, Michigan.
Yeah, the Midwest was stacked. Yeah. It's really, really good this year. And obviously, Michigan coming out of the Midwest, the champion, but Alabama was strong. St. Louis had an unfortunate matchup. They could have had a kind of a long run, and then Tennessee came out of nowhere. Iowa State could have been national champions very easily. So yeah. Midwest was super exciting. But yeah, like you said, most of these games were blowouts, which is very interesting, 20, 30 point games.
Yeah, one thing to mention, a team I was not expecting was Texas Tech to win against Akron, but then they did match up against Alabama and got blown out by 25 points. Texas Tech's without JT Topp, and they played good in the first round, second round, not so much. And then on to the South Side, we had Iowa upsetting Florida by 1 point, Nebraska beating Vanderbilt by 2, and then Houston beating Texas A&M, Illinois beating VCU, both by quite a large margin.
Yeah, that Florida-Iowa game, when Iowa beat Florida, I think it turned a lot of heads because, you know, Florida one seed, you know, maybe the weakest one seed, but the defending champs, and you get beat by... You know, a team that's no one really had going very far, I would say, first or second round exit.
I'm not going to lie. I did make a couple brackets, but in my best bracket, I had Iowa going to the Elite Eight.
But is that just because you like them?
No.
You saw something.
I felt something with Bennett Sturts.
See, you know, yeah, you got to be careful.
With Drake last year, Bennett Sturts.
Yeah.
I mean, that team was honestly good. They just got an unlucky draw. And then this year, he goes to Iowa. Obviously, you... People with more, more time in college, more time in March Madness.
Experience.
Experience, yes. You know, they just stand out better. And that's why I had Iowa going far, was because Bennett Sturts had the experience.
I guess for me, I'm always careful with like those really, like those shooting teams can go far, but also like if they have a bad night, like they're done, you know, like, so that was a good pick though, Liam. Great, good pick. I just I did not expect that.
And now on to the Elite Eight here. We have the East section of the bracket here. UConn beating Michigan State, Duke beating St. John's, both by 4 points and 5 points. Both those games kind of off and on. UConn did start out the game on a huge run against Michigan State in that game. On the West Side, Arizona beating Arkansas. And then Purdue beating Texas, ending Texas' great run. Both those...
Tragic.
Yeah. Purdue beat Texas by 2. Texas looked like they were in it up until the last points of the game. And then Midwest side, we have Michigan beating Alabama, Tennessee beating Iowa State, both of those being blowouts.
That's the game, Tennessee-Iowa State, because a lot of people had the Cyclones... winning it, you know?
Yeah.
And Tennessee to kind of come, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but they kind of went under my radar, I think, because they had to play Miami of Ohio first round.
Yeah.
And I think at least me being undefeated in the regular season, I had them at least winning one game. And so I think that took a lot of people, Miami of Ohio kind of took some of the eyes away from Tennessee, at least for me, like when I made my bracket. So what a game by Tennessee though, to beat kind of a national championship favorite by 16 or 14.
Yeah, Miami of Ohio in that first four matchup, they looked good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were hitting shots left and right. Then they played Tennessee and they looked horrible. But then Tennessee also looked like a really good team. And then they ended up being a really good team. And now, on to, what round are we on? Oh, I think that was the Sweet 16. I said Elite 8. Now we're on to the Elite 8 here. UConn upsetting Duke. That was probably the game of the tournament, honestly.
Let's talk about Braylon Mullins.
Yes.
Our very own in the Hoosier Heritage Conference dropped 40 on Pendleton and hits one of the all-time March Madness shots to beat. I think if Duke wins this game, they win the championship, at least in my opinion. But wow, Duke was up big, and then UConn just came crawling back.
Yeah,
Dan Hurley did what he does, and
just a lackluster turnover there by Duke in the last 10 seconds.
Why would you not just
hold the ball?
I don't understand why you don't just hold the ball. Yeah. Terrible.
And then on the west side, we have Arizona beating Purdue by 15. On the Midwest side, we have Michigan just blowing out Tennessee, not even close, 95-62. And then Illinois beating Iowa to end their run, 71-59.
Yeah, Illinois, that's a really strong team. I had them in my Final Four. Actually, they were a really strong team. Yeah. I think, had a chance to win the national championship.
Really, really good offense. And then Final Four, we have UConn beating Illinois by 9. Illinois not having the best night. And then Arizona blowing out Arizona. I don't think anybody saw that coming with Arizona's defense and the way that their offense had been playing all tournament. I don't think anybody expected them to lose 91-73.
It was one of those games where Arizona, it just looked like they were getting the right shots, but they just weren't falling.
Yeah.
Like really, their efficiency was just terrible. So, and then, you go to the championship now, Michigan, UConn, and
both heavily offensive teams.
Yeah.
Not scoring a lot, 69-63. Obviously, Michigan won.
I didn't think the game was that great.
No, I didn't think it was either.
People are like, oh, it's a defensive game. You get used to it. But like, it was just a lot of missed shots. It was a lower efficiency game.
Both teams at one point missed, I think, 8 threes in a row.
Yeah.
At least 8 threes in a row.
I don't think Michigan hit their first 3-pointer until the second half. Yeah.
And then UConn didn't hit their first 3-pointer in the second half until 8 minutes left. And they had already shot like 11 threes in the second half up until that point. And that's really what pulled Michigan ahead, was because in that second half, they just started catching fire and they weren't missing. And UConn, that's when they were missing.
Yeah, I mean, field goal percentage, UConn shot 31% and Michigan shot 38% from the field. And Michigan shot 13% from three. Just, I mean, Michigan's lucky that UConn played worse, because Michigan played, I mean, again, defense plays a huge factor, UConn, and both these teams are solid defenses, but both teams just played pretty lackluster.
Yeah. Overall, this tournament, showed signs of light, showed signs of good teams just being good. And maybe in the future, we see like higher seeds not playing against like a 16 seed or something, so that these 16, 15, 14 seeds could actually win some tournament games. Because this year, it just wasn't even close, except for that Duke-Siena game.
Pretty scratch for a lot of the tournament. So,
yeah. But on that, we will have to end the segment here. We are reaching our time. Thank you guys for joining us. And make sure you guys stay tuned for the rest of this ASN's Inside the Playbook.
Have you ever thought of becoming a WEEM underwriter? It could tremendously help expand your business. And your support would help the students of the WEEM studio and improve our involvement in the community. To learn more, please contact Trevor Martin, our WEEM Marketing Director, at 317-619-2091 or tmartin@smcsc.com.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to this segment of the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook. I'm Zion Palmer, joined here alongside
Callie Oxier.
And Callie, you are not the typical guest here on Inside the Playbook. Why are you here today?
Because I know nothing about sports.
And we're going to teach you things about sports, okay?
Great.
Starting off, what number does LeBron wear?
23.
Wrong.
28.
Six. He wore 23 too.
He did wear 23?
Yeah, he wears both of those.
So I got it right.
Okay,
are you
okay.
Serious?
What's a triple double? We're on the topic of basketball.
Basketball, okay.
Yeah, triple double.
Yeah, I had no clue.
Double double?
No clue.
Single double?
No.
No?
No.
What do you think it is? Just throw a guess out there.
What's it called?
A double double. We'll go with a double double.
Like an assist. Like some like somebody shoots it and then they miss and then their teammate comes in and like rebounds it or something.
So a double double is when you have double digit stats in two categories. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And a triple double is you get three stats in double digit categories.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go. How confident do you feel about baseball?
Not confident at all. I watched my first softball game the other day, and I've never seen a baseball game in a day of my life. Actually, I've been to one, and it was my fourth grade field trip.
Okay. How many pitches are you allowed in an at-bat?
What?
How many pitches are you allowed in an at-bat?
Like, before they walk?
In general. Before they walk? Before they hit a home run? Before they...
Isn't it like four?
You can get as many as you want.
I hate you.
Oh, what's a can of corn?
A can of corn?
In baseball.
It's a can of corn.
Yeah.
A can of corn.
No, it's an easy fly ball. What about the golden sombrero?
A golden sombrero?
Yeah.
I have no clue.
You know what that means?
No.
It's when you strike out four times in one game.
Okay, right.
You did get that here for the softball team.
I did?
Yeah.
I was not paying attention then.
What is a bagel in tennis?
So now we're in tennis.
I mean, you didn't know your baseball
world. Bagel? Was it when it hits the net?
A bagel?
Yeah.
No, that's when you win 6-0.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. What do you know about tennis?
I don't know. One of my best friends plays it.
Yeah?
I've never seen a tennis
match. How do you score
before.
It? What are the points called?
Match point.
Like,
it's like love or something.
Yeah, 15 love. Like that's
Oh my gosh. The only reason I know that is because that Craig Heffley mean. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. What other sports do you feel strongly about?
Rugby.
Rugby? Well, I'm not going to give you rugby ones. That's
Why not? I want to see how much I know now.
Well, I don't know rugby. You're flipping. Give me a rugby one. Why not?
What's a scrum?
That's like the pile, and they're searching for the ball, you know?
No.
No? Is that when you're just pushing people?
Yeah, pretty much. You have the,
so what I said, you like have the ball like has
the,
possession.
You have the eight people versus eight people pushing mm-hmm. against each other. What's a line out?
A line out? When it goes straight to the infielder.
What's an infielder?
A line out in baseball is when you hit it off the bat straight to the infield.
It's when the ball goes out of bounds, then you do a line out to get it back in play, and you lift somebody up in the air to catch it.
So kind of like in basketball, if it goes out of bounds, you just pass it in? But quickly,
yeah,
you just line it in?
Yeah, kind of, but you... Putting
what
someone in
this?
The air. That's how you put somebody in the air.
Audio listeners, she's holding her hands in the air.
Semi-confident about football.
What's offsides in soccer?
I know offsides is in rugby.
Well, what's
so
that?
I'm going to say
what's
what it is
in rugby.
When somebody gets tackled and the ball is like in the ground and it's not in play, and offsides is when you're like too far up. Like there's a certain line you have to be back behind.
Your attacking position is illegal.
That's what offsides is?
In soccer. I mean, you assume it's the same because that's how it is for football. I mean, you're encroaching.
When's football getting here?
You're ahead because that's another thing in football.
Okay, right.
How many points is an interception?
Dose.
Interceptions aren't points.
Oh.
What is an interception?
I hate you. Like, say Zion's playing.
Yeah.
He never play. But
I play.
Mm-hmm. He throws the ball to somebody on his team, and like I swoop in there and I catch it.
Okay, you know what that is. How many yards is a sack?
A sack?
Mm-hmm.
30.
Infinite amount of you can get a 1 yard
sack. Like, why are you giving me these questions?
You don't know. We got to teach you somehow. You're gonna be the next face inside the playbook, and I'm gonna be gone. And no,
no, thank you. I think I'm gonna pass on that one.
Okay, how do you achieve a 1 point safety?
In what sport?
Football. How many points is a normal safety?
What's a safety?
A safety is 2 points normally. The 1 point safety.
So it's one point. A safety is the 1 point safety is a 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not answer your question?
No. Well, hence the name 1 point safety. No, it's worth a point. But how do you achieve it?
Getting a point.
I don't have the full answer to this one because it's real. It's a process. You have to like, I think you like block a kick, take it to their own end zone, and then they fumble it and you take it all the way back or something. It's a long.
Sounds like a lot of running.
That's a lot of running. What's a dribble in basketball?
You dribble it like you're
English. Can we do this in Jeopardy style?
What
this
is
this motion in basketball is when it goes up and down.
Yeah, dribbling. What is dribbling?
What is dribbling?
I don't find you very amusing.
I think we'll do one more. What is it in this is extra innings of basketball?
Basketball?
So I'm going to give you this Jeopardy style here. Okay. What is the term for extra innings but basketball?
Full time.
Overtime.
Same thing.
It's full time in rugby, right?
Yeah, I think so. I have no clue. Never nerds. Been in it. Not to brag. Actually, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
All right. Well, you didn't make the cut. This is like a job interview. You did not make the cut.
Yes, I did.
No.
Don't.
We will not be seeing Calliox here in the future episodes of Inside the Playbook.
Yes, you will. Well, I edit this. There will be a segment of me in
There's
here.
A reason I'm on screen and you're behind the screen.
I edit this. There will be something of me in here. I'm going to put like a clown face on you.
Oh, great. Well, that'll do it for this segment. Thanks for tuning in and stay tuned for the next one on the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook.
Listen to the 80s at 8 to experience the synth sounds and groovy rhythms of the decade. Everything from goth to pop, from Prince all the way to The Cure. We've got you covered every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Only on 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this episode of the Arabian Sports Network Inside the Playbook. I'm Benson Davis, joined alongside by
Colton Bailey.
And today we've got a very good topic for you. We're going to be discussing, kind of debating if we disagree, what the hardest championship to win out of the four major sports are. That's the Stanley Cup for the NHL, the World Series for the MLB, NBA Finals, and the NFL Super Bowl. So I can go first, Colton. I think I'm going to start with the easiest. I think the easiest championship to win is the Super Bowl. And the reason I say that is that the playoff series is only 3 to 4 games, depending on whether or not you get that first round bye. And you only play 17 games all season, so teams are a lot less fatigued. They go into the tournament a little fresher. And they're single elimination playoffs, which allows for, you know, worse teams to beat a lot better teams if they are hot going into the playoffs.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that. I have the Super Bowl inside that exact same spot. I just feel like it's repetitive. And like, if you have a good player for a contract, you're just guaranteed to win. Like the Eagles and the Chiefs both had amazing players and they went 3 years in a row.
Yeah. So you're just saying if they have a good team, it's pretty much guaranteed they're going to win. So makes it a little easier for like good teams to win. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then next, Colton, what do you have in your number three spot? If you had to say.
In my number three, I have the NBA.
That's exactly what I have, actually. So it's cool we're agreeing so far. So the reason I put the NBA is it's similar to the next three. So the NBA, NHL, and MLB are all three use a best of seven game series. And I feel like with the NBA, star players kind of determine outcomes more so than any other sports league besides the NFL. So like, I just think that with the NBA, it's if you have a really good team, it's like more likely that you're going to win. You know, there's not as much unexpected things to happen. We saw that with like the Thunder last year. You know, they're favored to win and they did, unfortunately, because I'm a big Pacers fan. That was a brutal series. But yeah, the better team usually wins over a series. There's not a whole lot of unexpectedness. And, you know, it is a 7-game series, but compared to the other two, I'm going to put this at number three.
What would be your number two?
I think, yeah. So between the NHL and MLB, I think I'm going to go NHL at two. And I'll get into it a little more, but if you want to go ahead, who would you have at two?
The MLB.
You did have the MLB.
Yeah.
So you had NHL as the hardest.
Yeah.
And I had the MLB at the hardest. Okay. So if you want to go ahead, why do you think the NHL is harder than the MLB?
What's mainly because of the playoffs being seven round or eight. I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Well, they're both seven-game series.
Along with that, most of them are low-scoring and very close games. Well, there's not been a Stanley Cup that went past 5 points since 1914.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're just saying they're always tight. The games are always tight.
It's always a really tight, stressful game. You're closed in. The atmosphere, it's louder.
Yeah, I think something that makes hockey especially difficult is, you know, ignoring like even the system of the playoffs is just the actual sport. Probably on the list, NHL is probably one of the most physically demanding sports, probably the most physically demanding sport of all of these, you know, skating while having to deal with physical. It's like football on ice, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
If you will, I think some hockey fans might be mad at that or some football fans, but yeah, it's a, like you said, you need 7-game series, you need 16 wins in the playoffs to guarantee a championship. And I think it's a grind. And like you said, though, a lot of those games are close, which makes upsets a lot, you know, makes upsets common. But I would say they're slightly less common than they are in the MLB, which is why I have MLB as the hardest. Not only because it's the most games out of all these, they play 162 games in the regular season. So you're talking the best teams in the league are still losing, you know, 60 plus games. And you see a lot more often like lower seeds upset these top seeds just because your teams have to, you know, you can have a star player, but that star player can't play their best every night. You know, you can't have a pitcher pitch all 7 games every single round. So you need to have a really deep team to win. But it's still super unpredictable. I just think baseball in itself is a really hard sport. So I think this best of series format reduces flukes, but still, I think there's a lot of upsets and it's just a really hard sport to win.
You know what? I respect your decision again. I was debating putting baseball at number one, but I've always been a hockey fan. So I just have to go with hockey. They're both equally as hard sports. Baseball, like with the timing of the ball, reaction time is big in that. Like you said, with the pitcher, you can't have a star pitcher pitch all 7 innings. Like you have to swap them out.
And yeah, I think some people might say that them having more games makes it easier for the bigger teams to win, you know, because if you're looking at this from what we did, which is the hardest to win, I think the MLB or the NHL are the hardest and the NFL is the easiest. But for these smaller kind of underdog teams, you'd almost reverse it. You'd almost say that football is the easiest to win just because these kind of underdog teams can go on a run and just they have their best underdog teams have their best shot of winning. I feel like in the NFL out of any of these, that might be a little controversial, but I would say overall, I think we can agree the MLB and NHL probably the hardest championships to win. But I do think depending on how you look at it, I think I could see someone arguing, you know, why the NFL might be the hardest, just because a really, really good team can work, you know, go undefeated. Like you saw with the Patriots, they went 17-0, made it to the Super Bowl and then lost to Eli Manning and the Giants. And, you know, that kind of shows that even though there's a really good team, they can still have their playoff or their championship hopes destroyed by, you know, a random team. You know, that Giants team wasn't particularly great. I think they had like 10 or 11 wins. So yeah, I think depending on how you look at it, you could kind of mix these around, but I think we've got a pretty good list.
Yeah. That's it. This is very similar to those top two, but again, I definitely agree they can be interchanged.
But yeah, I'm surprised we had the same exact list. Let's try to agree here. Would you still think NHL is the hardest or would you go MLB?
I would still say NHL.
You still think NHL is the hardest? Okay. Well, I guess we agree. We can go through this list. So we have NFL, the easiest, number 4.
Yes, definitely.
And then we have the NBA at 3. Still, granted, very hard 7-game series. And then Colton, we disagree on the 1 and 2. So you have the MLB at 2. I have the NHL. And then you have the hardest as being the Stanley Cup. And then I have the World Series. So overall, pretty similar. And I think most sports fans would agree with us. I would hope so. I hope we did a good job, Colton. What do you think? You think we nailed it?
I feel like we did a good job.
Yeah. Well, Colton, thank you for being on here. I've been Benson Davis, joined alongside by
Colton Bailey.
And stay tuned for next episode of Arabian Sports Network Inside the Playbook, 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.